peace. The mighty God is He. He's saving me, He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise His name.
One more time.
Wonderful, He's wonderful.
Yes,
Jesus is to me.
Be here. I was thinking about some people in the body lately, you know, helping each other out. Yeah. We should depend on each other.
Oh yeah.
That's all there is to it, you know. Stop trying to depend on the world for help when you're stranded somewhere and you need jumper cables.
Come
or
on.
Whatever it may be. If your car's down, you need a ride, don't hesitate to ask for help. Yeah. You know, because I look around, these are the people I'm going to the top with.
Amen.
We're going all the way. Like, this is the group right here. This is us. This is who we should depend on. You know, don't hesitate to ask each other for help.
That's right.
Your best friends are in the body. So.
Amen.
I just wanted to say that, and I want to sing 138. Coming to His house.
Yes.
glad to be here.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
Amen. Testify.
I just want to thank God for being here. You know, there's so much truth to depending on the body. Amen. You know, I think about James. You know, today's his birthday. You know, and I think about, like who supported me the most, like when I was down, and it was the body, you know, and who was here to lift me up, you know, it was always the body, you know, so there's so much into relying on the body, you know, like I have friends in the world, I have coworkers and people, but you know, that nobody was here for me like the body was,
right.
You know, so and I just want to give James flowers, you know, and I think about today is not only the celebration of his birthday, but it's a true celebration of his life.
Amen. Yes.
You know, and I'm thankful because I told him this morning, and I was looking at him, and I was like, "You're breathing," and I was like, "Your heart's beating," you know, and I was just like,
Amen.
"It's the little things that we take for granted," you know, and I don't ever want to take that for granted, and I don't even, you know. You know, sometimes we, you know, we get in our feelings because I think about, you know, we've been married for a very long time, and we, to me, you know, and I was like, we've had some good times and we've had some great times, you know, and I'm thankful for all the times that we've had, but we've never had any bad times, you know, because they're all learning opportunities, you know, and then opportunities to show that we love each other that much more, you know, and I'm just thankful because Pastor Moore always said, you know, don't go through something for nothing. You know, get the glory out of all of it. And so that's why I said they're all good times. So, but I'm just thankful for this place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're coming to his house.
Oh, right behind you.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't get up here without
Amen.
Saying
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's so good to be here.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I feel like I've been gone for a year or more. I mean, I feel like I've kind of been living in another world that's just, so, just not real. I know for some of you don't know, my mom did pass away on October 3rd, and I just want to say thank you, Pastor Moore. You've been amazing, and my sisters, my brothers, all the body. I just can't express enough thanks, and, you know, I reached out to a few sisters, and a lot of them reached out to me to say, what do you need? And I just said, send me scriptures, and it just kept flooding in, and it was such, it helped
Amen.
Me so much, because I know God's word got me through everything,
Amen.
And I want to just say thank you on behalf of my dad, my sister Robin. I mean,
Amen.
We're so appreciative of everything. Pastor Moore got to see my mom before she passed away, and she said, I want you to come back out there, and he did, and it was such a blessing to her, and I just want to say, keep my dad in your prayers. He has dementia, so every single day, I don't know how many times he's asking, where's your mom? And it's heartbreaking to have to tell him again, and you know, I comfort him, and he says, well, she's okay. I said, yes, Dad, she's okay. So my mom, before she left, she said, she knew. She said, Monday is the day, but Tuesday you're on your own, and she passed that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And she was at peace. She was at hospice, and Sister Judy got to come out, and just, it was just beautiful.
Amen.
And I just thank each and every one of you for your prayers, and I would like to play something. I own the Sparrow, so my mom loved, and hope it'll bless you too.
Yes, yes.
You can be seated.
Thank you.
His eye is on me. He watches me. You know, the written word is a beautiful thing, and it's so comforting. But the manifested word, the manifested word, you know, that's what we see in our brothers and sisters. That's the thing that comforts us. You know, you can go through all kinds of things. You're so right, Courtney. We have good days and we have great days, but we don't have bad days. I don't care what you go through. That word is always there. God is always there. He sees his children. He loves us. Amen. And he's showing us this word. And, you know, I was thinking, I can't help but bear wool. Right. You know, I can't help but manifest Christ. Amen. I can't. It's in me. Amen. And I just want to praise him. And that's the thing that just stirs me up. You know, I come here and I don't know what to do, don't know what to say, but I want to say something. Amen. Because I just want to give to Jesus. I want to give to this word. I want to give this thing that's given me life. You know, some people can't believe.
That's right.
You know, I read the Bible. So many of them couldn't see what Jesus was doing. Right. They couldn't see. But he knew. And, you know, in this day and age, we're the same as Jesus on this earth. Yes. We know.
We know.
You know, they don't know who we are.
Yeah.
We walk around and we manifest Christ, but they can't see it. But we can't help but see it. We can't help but manifest it. We can't help but be who we are. And I just thank God for that.
Amen. Go ahead, Tom.
To have a promise is one thing, but I'm grateful for knowing that he's keeping his promises to me. That as I walk through, I know he's taking care of me. It's not a if and what. It like they said, well, he's with you. I said, I know he's with me. All of you guys, you just assume he's with you in the world. I know he is. And I want to say I'm grateful for him constantly reminding me of who he is so that I can understand who I am. Anytime I had a storm, I've had storms. Everyone in here has had storms. What got me through is right there when I said, I'm anchoring myself right here to this word and this church. And that no matter what storm has ever crossed my path, I've gotten through it.
Yeah.
Because right here is where I am.
Right.
And this is where I'm going to stay. I'm not going nowhere. I've been here for over 30 years now. And if I stay another 30 years, no big deal to me. I enjoy this place. I enjoy you people. And that's one of the things I enjoy about getting here early.
Yeah.
Is I get to watch you guys walking in here.
Amen.
And I know each one of you've had a rough time throughout the week. But once you get in here, it's like, I see everyone just mellow down and relax a little bit.
Yes.
And it's great. It really is. It's a lot of fun. But like I said, I'm thankful for keeping the promises of God. Knowing them is one thing, but knowing that he's fulfilling them in your life is another.
Amen. Some brothers get the offering.
I was thinking, too, about how that, you know, as you're playing that song, you know, how I know he watches me. You know, when we go through life, you know, there's ups and downs and things, and I don't even like capitalize on that because I know he's there.
Yeah.
I don't care if, you know, something really exciting coming up. You know, I really don't get too excited because I know he's got it. Mm-hmm. And when something terrible's coming up, and I see it coming, I don't get too down either because I know he's got that too.
Amen.
And, you know, I've seen him always there, you know. And that's the thing that keeps, I guess, as you go along, keeps you steady or makes you more and more steady because, you know, I see other people get all excited and everything, you know, and friends and different things. And I say, well, that's good. Hope it pays off. Hope it works, you know. But if it don't, I've got an anchor.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I don't care what happening on up here on the surface of the water. Could be a hurricane. Could be, you know, a perfect storm. But I know that anchor holds. It's down in the rock.
Right.
And I'm not going anywhere very far. I might. You know, the anchor doesn't go straight down. It's got some slack to it. You move around. Move around, but you don't go too far.
Yeah.
That chain gets tight after a while, and it'll hold you.
Amen.
So I'm thankful. I was with a friend of mine yesterday, and spent about 4 hours driving with him. We went to a festival over in eastern Ohio. And, you know, he had a brain tumor and, you know, lost his hearing. And we had a time all day long because he's deaf in his right ear. I'm deaf in my right ear. So usually I just jump on somebody's right hand side, you know, that way I can hear him. Nobody knows the difference, you know. And but now we're constantly turn this way, that way, almost have to face each other, to hear each other, especially when it's noisy around us, like at that festival. And but anyway, I see what he's come through, and I see that he's just the same as he was in high school. I hadn't seen him for like 40 years, you know, very much, and it's just like I hadn't missed a beat.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for, you know, these little things in your life, even when you're young, it's all God. It's shaping you. It's helping you. It's, you know, it's pointing you in the right direction, holding you still till you can come to the Word anyway. You know, he watches over that seed all the way through.
Amen.
Whether it's manifested or not, that's him. You know, he always watches over a seed, that part that's predestinated. It will come to the Word. And but anyway, you look at it, and he was talking about his brother and sister and family, which I knew very well, and they're all broke down, and back problems and cancer and, you know, woman problems and everything else. I guess his brother was really having trouble with his wife, being controlling and all that. And I sat back, and I just, it'll be all right after a while. You know, because I love them all, take them all with me. Have every bit of authority to do it, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my strength and health. You know, I remember Brother Childers always said, thankful for being strong, thankful for being healthy, you know, not on drugs or anything like that. And because that helps, you know, each part of your life has got a benefit to you.
That's right.
You know, if you're all broke down, the devil beat on you more. You know, he'll use things against you. And I'm thankful that I know that he's real.
Amen.
Thankful that I know that he's ever-present help in time of need. Thankful that he's in the body. You know, that I can call on anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
And you all should know, you can call me anywhere, anytime.
Right.
You know, don't just wait till you got problems. You could fellowship a little bit, but, you know, if you have problems, I'll be there. I'll be there. I think Brother Childers taught me that. He called me in the middle of the night. Well, this rental property's got a broken line. Can you go over there, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning? And, you know, we got concrete to pour at 7, and sure, I'll be there. And, you know, you do what you can. And I guess that's what I like about this friend of mine. You know, he was always that nature, that spirit, where, you know, you just do what you can.
Yeah.
And content in life. And he's been through 2 divorces. And, you know, just helped me look back on my life and how God has kept me steady.
Amen.
And how that he has, how he's just given me everything I need. And I'm just so thankful for the understanding. You know, I could have talked to him for 4 hours about this message. But didn't feel, I had him.
Right.
I had him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the Lord could take this way, take that away, you know, but he's got me. He doesn't have to.
Right.
He can pull me through it anyway. So I'm thankful for the steadiness, for the
yes.
For the strength of this thing.
Amen.
You know, it's a lot stronger than what we realize sometimes.
Yeah.
But it holds you through the good times, bad times, holds you through the steady times. You know, it's always there. And I guess that's what I'm thinking about this morning, you know, just he's so real. He's so ever-present. And, you know, it's just me and him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not me and Brother Moore even. It's just me and him.
Amen.
But me and him testifies, you know, of everything that you all testify of. So
right.
I know
Amen.
What you're talking
yes.
about. It's Amen. The same thing in my life, you know, my
yes.
personal life, my personal walk with him. And so it's just a beautiful thing to see and to know. And to know more and more and more, every service, I realize more and more who I am and how he's got this thing and how he leads me and how he talks to me
Amen.
And how he pieces this thing together and how that nobody else sees it or will ever see it. There's not enough time to even intellectually explain it to him,
no.
let alone for God to deal with him like he's dealt with us
Amen.
In this year after year after year. That's why we can almost, you know, say, I don't know another group like this. It's been so word upon word upon word.
Yes.
And it's so ingrained in us, so
yeah.
revealed to us. Because the Holy Spirit can only quicken his word.
That's it.
And
That's it.
The word has come forth and forth and forth, you know, for all these years, and he's quickened it every time.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
It's good to be back in the house of God.
Amen.
I wanted to thank everyone for the prayers. My neck is pain-free. I'm
Amen.
Able to
Amen.
Raise my arm.
Amen.
Was able to help an elderly guy get out of the boat over at Houston Woods, help lift him up on some dry land and stuff. So I know I'm healed. So, but I was thinking about the word. You know, Brother Moore was talking about faith and works, and Jeremiah backed it up with, you know, we got a job to do. Do your job.
Oh, yeah.
And I worked in management at ADS, and in management, when you're trying to fill a position or you're hiring somebody, you have to write a well description of the job. We call it a job description, right?
Right, right.
And the more detail you can provide,
yes,
a person that's interviewing for the job, they'll read through the information, see whether they want to do the job or not. And if they don't want to do that work, they don't apply for the job. But if you find somebody that does like the job description, then you do an interview. And when you talk, you know, now you're verbally speaking to them, giving them a lot more information of what, yes, you've done, what the job presents and stuff like that. And if it turns them on, you know, they'll take the job, you mm-hmm. know. And if you like them, you'll hire them. Well, I was thinking about the Word of God. You know, Jeremiah was talking about do your job. The Word is our job description,
that's right,
you know.
That's right.
And there's so much detail. You know, the Scripture gives you some detail, but that preaching, that Word made flesh, that gives you the detail of what we're supposed to do. And I'm thankful for the Word. Amen.
Amen. As far as announcements go, remember Brother O'Kay is coming this weekend. He's coming Wednesday, isn't he? He's coming Wednesday, so we got special services Saturday night at 7, Bible study too, and then he's preaching Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So, and there's a dinner to follow. So let's sing Coming to His House.
Forget about ourselves. So let's forget about ourselves. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about ourselves. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh, let's forget about ourselves. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Christ, our Lord. Let us worship Him. Come into this house. Oh.
come into this house. We're gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house. We're gathered in His name.
Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. Lord, we're like David. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. And we're gathered here this morning not to be seen, not to be heard, but Lord, to present our bodies a living sacrifice that You could come and use each one of us as You see fit. You could speak through each one of us and move in this body. This is what You've wanted to do the whole time. And now You've got a group of people who know what to do with the Word, Lord. When we come to the house of God, we come here looking to hear from You. Not just from me, but Lord, through the entire body. It's Christ in You, the hope of glory. Thank You for answering our prayers, Lord. And we're so appreciative that You always hear us. And Lord, we ask You one more time this morning as we come and we're gathered in this house, that You would move every hindering spirit out of here, Lord, and let Your word flow freely through this place. And Father, as we brought all of the needs before You, and as we stand in representation of whatever area of life we come from, Lord, we're here representing people that need to hear from You, and they'll do that through us. Father, I see You answered prayers. You've healed bodies. You've, Lord, solved problems. You put love where there was hatred. You put peace where there was turmoil. And Father, we come this morning to say thank You for that. Lord, it's a big thing when we can love each other and look at each other right and stand in the house of God and identify with each other. Oh, this world has fallen apart, but Lord, Your bride is coming together. Lord, as I open the word up here, the book, Lord, we ask You to open our hearts and come and walk these aisles. Come speak to us, Lord. Spend a little time with us this morning so that, Lord, we can appreciate You more than we ever have when we leave this place today. Thank You for Your love, mercy, and grace. Have Your way in this service this morning. Speak to our hearts. Bless those that are away, Lord, and those that couldn't be here, those that may be sick. Lord, just move, touching their bodies. Continue to touch Trevor. Continue to be with Dawn. Touch her and John and different ones. Bless Christy's family. And Lord, I ask You to just come amongst us and help us all to just be stronger today because of Your word. Thank You for everything You've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be gathered again in the house of the Lord this morning. No better place to be. Especially in the hour that we're living in. You know, the song says, nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. The time that the prophet foretold. The Gentiles' days are numbered with horrors and comfort. Eternity soon will unfold. Now we need to sing that song, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with God's spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clean. Look up. Your redemption is not near, it's here. You know, whether you know it or not, some of you don't follow current events. I do. because I have to keep up with what God's doing. Israel went into war yesterday. And God's got to protect Israel. Make as hot as you want for Israel. Make it as hot as you want. I was looking up. I looked up Iran. I thought, who are these Iranians? The Iranians are the Persians. And the Persians have always fought the children of Israel. Everyone's, you know, I was looking at it this morning and said, the Persians are the one who had the law that got Daniel in trouble. Yeah. That's how far back this goes. Yeah. The Medes and the Persians.
Wow.
They got Daniel in trouble because of their laws.
Right.
And to this day, we still got the Persians fighting Israel, the children of Israel. But that's all right. Make it hot. Because I know one thing.
Yes.
The Bible said that he won't deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. He actually had to blind the Jews to come to the Gentiles. And wouldn't you know it, the Gentiles are now blind. Remember Revelation chapter 3. Don't forget that. It takes Revelation chapter 3 for God to go back to Israel.
Amen.
They're rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. That's the way the Jews were when Jesus was here.
That's right.
But don't know that they're blind.
Yeah.
See, the Gentiles have been blinded.
Yeah. Amen.
The same thing God did to Israel to get to us. It's the same thing God's doing to the Gentiles to go back to Israel. So don't count Israel off yet. Don't count off little Benjamin. The little remnant. Don't count off. There's 144,000 over there, I know. That's got to be saved. So though Israel is going to war, it could be the end of it. And it could not, maybe. You know, I know we're still here.
Amen.
Now, God can't go and really do nothing for them. All he can do is protect them right now.
Right.
But he's not going to send them their two prophets until after we get our body changed.
Amen.
So keep your eye on the news.
My goodness.
Yes.
Amen.
Any day now.
Any day.
This bride will be leaving. Because
right.
The Gentiles, like I said, they're already blinded.
Right.
They're not going to be. They're already blinded. It's already done. Now the bride, all she's doing is wrapping this thing up. It is so close. If we knew how close it was, oh, what would it do to you? You say, well, if I knew it was coming Tuesday, oh, Lord, don't worry about Monday going to work. Don't worry about paying that bill. Don't worry about. But let me tell you a little something, Brian. Even if it's not Tuesday, don't worry about. Because he's got this thing in his hands. He's wrapping this thing up. And the bride has made herself ready. She's fully clothed. She's fully dressed. Without one spot, without one wrinkle, without one false doctrine, without one leaven. This bride is 100% ready to go. If he did it this afternoon, I wouldn't have to add one revelation. If he did it this evening, I wouldn't have to drop anything. We're already ready. The church world's blinded. The bride's on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what to do with the word. Brother Brown said, look, and that's what the scripture says, when that tree puts forth another branch.
Ah, right.
Brother Brown said, watch Israel.
Yes. Amen.
And he also said, watch Russia.
Yes.
He didn't say, watch the USSR.
No.
And watch Russia.
Right.
See, Putin's trying to get Russia back into the USSR. And it's going to happen. It'll be Russia. Because that's the one God told us to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He said, well, how do you know all these things? We had a prophet.
Amen.
And he told us what to look at. Watch Rome.
Yeah.
If you want to see the church, watch the woman.
Yeah.
If you want to see what God's doing to the Gentiles, watch and see what the church world's doing. If you want to see what he's going to do to Rome, watch and see what the Roman church is doing. He told us to watch Rome. He told us to watch Russia. He told us to watch the woman. He told us to watch the church. He told us to look at the bride. So we got things to do, church. We got a job to do, and we got things to keep our eyes on. Because, you know, when this thing wraps up, we're going to be the final voice to the final age. Amen. When we get our body changed, you're going to say, yes, Lord, your scripture was right. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, while I was standing there and I was a witness to it. Amen. The word itself testify of these things. Amen. So don't get discouraged, little bride. Amen. Not now. It's time now to be encouraged. Yes. It's time now to throw down anything, lay down every sin and everything that besets you. Yes. Oh, put all that unbelief behind you. Yes. It's doing exactly what the scripture said it's going to do. Amen. And the bride is getting God's word manifest in her life like never before. Right. So I'm very appreciative of that. Now we've got, remember Brother Rosaldo in your prayers. I texted him yesterday and found out he buried his mother this week. And so pray for him and their family. And Jeremiah and I are planning on going to San Diego in December. We're finalizing the dates now at the beginning of the month, so keep that in your prayers. And that's probably going to wrap up the year. We've been busy all year long, and we're down to the last few little months and the last few things. And after that comes New Year's service, so that'll be 2023 in a wrap. So keep these things in mind. Brother Peter Okeo, I've talked to him on the phone. He's planning on arriving Tuesday night. I'll pick him up at the bus station Tuesday night, and he'll be ministering for us Wednesday night, and then Saturday night at 7, and then Sunday morning at 10, we'll have him here, and then afternoon we'll have dinner after immediately following services, just to spend a little time with him. Now, I know in time pass, if people wanted to come and get him and take him home for dinner or something, that's option is open as well. He's going to be free Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. Those are days he's not going to be preaching, but he'll be leaving on, I think, Wednesday. So if you feel like you want to take him over for dinner, sometimes he does that. He likes to visit because he gets to know you on a personal basis. Just let us know, and we can make some arrangements. Keep these things in mind, and God bless us. We're going to have Bible study tonight, and we'll have Bible study on Sunday night next week when Brother Peter's here. We'll get his help with that and with us, so that'll be good. Amen. So it's good to be in the house this morning. I enjoy seeing God's word, faith in action. I enjoy seeing that. Because it shows you that God's... See, God speaks it, and then he brings it to pass. That's why we can know what's coming. It's because God's already spoken. That's why we can, with a guarantee, tell you about Israel. They're not going to destroy Israel. They're never going to destroy Israel. There's 144,000 that are sitting over there that God's got to come and speak to. And he's going to save them all. They're going to be born in one day. All of them are going to get it in one day. And so, you know, it's going to happen. We wondered at one point, how in the world are two prophets going to be dead in the streets and they're going to be able to see it around the world? Well, television. I saw the deads in the street yesterday. It's not, back when it was written, it wasn't even possible for the whole world to see at the same time a dead body in the street. It's possible now. See, all these things are lined up. It's like the scripture knows exactly what it's saying, and everything else has to line up to the scripture. So don't fear, little bride. All is well. God's got this thing lined up like he wants to. He knows what he is doing. So if you want to turn with me over here for a scripture reading this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. This is a chapter that all the sisters avoid and the brothers like to go to. I thought we'd start here today. starting at verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. That's why I said they don't like to read that. That's not Miss J. That's, I don't want to hear that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want to title this message this morning, True Headship. Amen. I want to talk on headship today. Yeah. Yes. Right. We talk about it every once in a while. Brother Childers was the headship king. He was well known in this message for preaching headship. Yes. And he preached it strong and he preached it straight. And it was right. And it is right. And it's right. Still right.
Amen, Lord. Yes. Amen.
You know, this whole thing is about submission. Whether it's the wife, the husband, the children, every last one of us. And so when I say that we don't want to read that section, we take it wrong. All we do, we always get stuck in our own thinking. And we major on minors. And we husbands want to use this to bring our wife into subjection. Right. Want to show her how she's got to listen to God. Well, what if she doesn't? Yeah. Right. What if she doesn't do it? Right. What are you going to do now? What if the man don't become subject? Right. What if, see, the thing is, we when we read the scripture, all we ever get out of that, it's submission of a wife and a husband, and everybody's giving in to everybody else. That ain't even the point.
Amen. That's right.
That's a minor point. Amen. I mean, yeah, the wife should be subject to her husband, and I recommend it. I highly recommend it. Because the Word of God says that. That's like raise your children in the admonition of the Lord. I highly recommend it because the Bible says that. But what if you don't? See, the thing is, we spend so much time putting so much law and so much junk on ourselves, because when we read it, we don't even read what Paul's saying here. We really don't even read what Paul's saying here. He's saying some things, and all we hear is wives submit. All we hear is submit, 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 submit. And you're missing the point altogether. The whole thing that Paul was trying to show here is that submission has to happen to the church. Amen. And we have to submit ourselves to Christ. Right. That's the point he was making. Right. We read all that other stuff, and we get down here to the end of the chapter, verse 32, and we don't even hardly read that. That's the meat of the chapter. We spend so much time to get our wives in submission. I mean, what if they don't?
Come on. Right. Amen, Lord.
I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things. I'm not saying wives don't be submissive. I'm saying you should be. I'm saying that's what God's word called for. That's what God asked you to do. And you should do the best you can to do that. But like Brother Chill said, if you don't hear that message, I got another message for you. But we spend so much time putting so much law on each other. Most of our headship is junk. But it's our headship. I can run my house like I want. It might be junk, but it's my junk. One man's junk is another man's treasure. But I'm not saying wives don't be submissive to your husband, because you should be. And shame on you if you're not. You're breaking the word of God.
Amen.
You're right.
But there's a greater picture than this. I'm talking about true headship. There's a greater picture than Clarice listening to me. What has she done? And sometimes she don't.
Amen.
I can be talking to her, she won't be listening. But what if she doesn't? Is she going to hell? No. Y'all see what I'm trying to say to you? I'm not saying don't submit, because I wanted to submit. I wanted to be a good wife. I wanted to listen to me. I wanted to follow me. But if she doesn't follow me, that ain't the end of the story. It's just a type. Remember Romans 7? Just a type. As Brother Childers said, I got one more type for you.
Amen.
But the story is not about you and your spouse. It's a bigger picture than that. That's why Paul said, I'd rather you be like me. Don't even get married. Paul wasn't worried about his wife being subject because he didn't have one. He said, if you don't have one, I can serve God better. So if you're blessed to have a spouse, thank God. If you don't have a spouse, don't curse God. Don't feel like you're cursed. Don't feel like you're down. Don't feel like it's just God's not allowing that in your life. And whatever state you find yourself in, be content with that. If God wants you to be single, be content with that. If God wants you to be married, be content with that. If God's given you kids, be content with that. People are single till they love being single till they get, they love being married till they get married. When they're single, they're like, oh, I want to get married. And they pine, they pine, they pine. Then they get a wife or they get a husband. And next thing you know, why did I ever get married? I told y'all that when I got married, I wouldn't have married if God didn't tell me to get married. Because what holds us together is the fact that God got us together. That God said, I can never believe the devil's lie when he says I got the wrong one. Because God gave her to me. God said she'd make a good wife. And she has. We have three kids, beautiful kids. Grandkids, in-laws, we got it made. But God said. And that's what you got to always remember when you're battling. And I'm going to say this just so you know, when you're battling as a spouse with your spouse, always fall back on God gave them to you.
Amen.
So whether she's subject or not, God gave her to you. Whether he's obedient or not, God gave her to you. And when you know God gave her to you and that's your testimony, and you better testify to that, because if you don't testify to that, Satan's going to sneak in there and he's going to get you.
Amen.
He'll mess you up.
That's right.
He'll work you over.
He will.
But when you got something solid, when you got something solid, something that you know that God's given you, then praise God, you can rest on that.
Amen.
Welcome, Brother John, you're late. Come on in.
Come on in.
When God tells you to do something, and he tells it to your husband, and he gives it to the wife, the wife should do it. I'm not saying don't. But I'm saying, what if she doesn't? Does that mean she's going to hell? No. So we spend so much time in Ephesians chapter 5 here, and we spend so much time trying to bring our wives subject, and we miss the real point of it all. The real point of it all is verse 32. Amen. This is a great mystery.
Yes.
Something deeper than your wife.
Yes.
Something deeper than your spouse.
Amen.
Something deeper than your marriage. Because if you're not married, you don't have to even worry about that.
Right.
But there's a bigger picture than you and your spouse.
Right. Amen.
This is a great mystery. What's the mystery? The mystery of submission. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's the real true headship. There's the real true picture. See, marriage, it's a Christian activity. We get all tore up because the world just move in and live together, as they should do. They're not Christians. They don't take vows to God. They don't even believe in God. So why are you shocked that they move in together? It makes sense now that they just move in together. I mean, as the hour's getting later, I'm understanding it more and more that they got to go and just shack it up because they ain't thinking about God. They ain't worried about God's word. They're not trying to do the Christian thing because they're not Christians.
Amen.
So why act like you? There's people, they go out and they spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a wedding. And they don't even go to church. They'll buy all this big diamond ring. They'll do all this big fancy stuff. And they're not even Christians. And the devil's just laughing at him because after he gets them married, then he's got them in debt. And you know what the first argument is going to be? Money. You know what ruins most homes? Money. You know what put pressure in the home? Money. You are not wise. Let me put it that way. See, I'm trying to be politically correct. You're not wise when you spend so much money on a wedding that you take 10 years to pay it off.
Right. You're right.
Doesn't even make sense. You could be buying a house. That's a real good common sense down payment. I don't know. But we spend so much time on the natural marriage. When the natural marriage, it's a Christian activity that some Christians get to have, but not all. Some Christians don't ever get married. And that's not a bad thing. It's not. That's what Paul said. You can spend more time serving God. Because really, the bottom line is we all are here to serve God. Everybody in this church is here to serve God. Whether you're single, married, tall, short, black, white, whatever color, whatever race, whatever creed, whatever. You're here to serve God. That's the bottom line. And we spend so much time talking about wife's place, but what about your place? Because you know what? In the eyes of God, we're all the wife.
Amen.
We're Mrs. Jesus. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. And marriage is only for the Christian.
That's it.
Oh, the rest of the world does it, but it's not really for them. They don't do it right. They stand up there, they take the vows. If they, you know, they'll even change the vows. They've even changed these. They don't even like a wife submitting herself to her husband. They want to take that out. They do. They take that out. They've changed the vows now. They don't even talk about submission. Because they ain't going to do it anyway. Who are we fooling? They ain't going to do it anyway. But when marriage was instituted by God at the very beginning, He married Adam and Eve. God joined them together.
Amen.
You say, did they have a marriage ceremony? You don't have to have a marriage ceremony. It's the vows.
Right.
The vows is what marry you.
Right.
So when God instituted marriage, he put his sons with his daughters. See, that's why I say don't be unequally yoked, people.
Right.
You're going out here trying to find somebody, make it work, make it work. Oh, I need a wife. No, I need a husband. Gonna, you'll settle for somebody who don't even love God.
Amen.
You almost fool yourself to say they do when they really don't. And then if you marry, as he or she may not, you know, might not believe in that. If you marry, then you got them in your house. Then you got to deal with it. Water in your vein, is, I think that's what the Bible says. A bad woman. I'd rather have a bad woman outside of my house. Than in my house.
Amen.
Don't be so quick that you're going to bring all any old thing in your house. Because once they're in there, they're in there. And I said woman, but it could be a man. I see these young girls do it. They grab up the first thing they think that man's got muscles. They grab him up and take him and they move in or marry or however they decide they want to do it. And next thing you know, she is stuck like Chuck.
That's it. You're right. And then look.
They say don't move nobody into your rental property. If they ain't no good. Do you realize you got to get squatter's notice? You can't just throw somebody out of your house. Once they're in, they're in. You get somebody that don't pay their rent, and you hard up and want money, and they give you that first month's rent, and you move them in, and then second month, you're waiting for your rent, and it doesn't come. Third month, it doesn't come. Fourth month, they're like, well, no. You got to pay to get them out. You can't do like they did in the old days.
You're right. Might as well
in Brother Children's day, they just took a water hose and went and took you out. But Brother Children's even learned the laws don't let you do that no more.
No.
Age of rights, Laodicea. The bums even have rights. I do. Criminals have rights.
Amen.
Everybody has rights. So don't get some bad spouse in your house. Because once you get them in, you can't get them out. But marriage is a Christian institution by God. And I got this scripture here, Isaiah chapter 22. It says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. That key, in the old days, when they had marriages, the bride would take her veil and lay it on the shoulder of the man. And the reason she did that was to show to the world that I'm turning everything I am, everything I want to be, everything I thought I was, over to him.
That's right.
Everything I have belongs to him.
Yes.
That's the way God does it.
True.
See, God, that's now we're talking about how God's marriages work.
Yeah.
See, matter of fact, you don't even, in God's marriages, you don't even keep your own last name. God gives you a new name. In God's marriages, you don't keep your own things. When you marry God, every everything you have, you place it on his shoulder. Everything you are, everything you plan to be, everything belongs to him. You no longer have to worry about anything else, because you know what? God's going to take care of everything. That's what that whole marriage thing's about. When you marry in the Lord, you leave your father and mother, and you take your little self over to your husband, and everything you have, you give it to him. That's God's way of doing it.
Amen.
And God's got a reason for doing that.
That's right.
See, we've gotten so far away of how God's marriages work that we got our own ideas. We got our own cars. We got our own agendas. We got our own programs. He's going this way. She's going that way. They don't even see. They see each other first thing in the morning. That's the last they see each other.
Right.
Nobody's talking about taking nobody's mind. That wife should be seeking after that man's mind every day.
Amen.
We should be seeking his mind every day. I ain't telling you nothing that God doesn't expect out of us. When you get up in the morning, do you get up just running? Do you take a moment to say, Lord, thank you for this new day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you have in store for me today? That's God's marriage. I ain't talking about this lady seeing group of women and this group of men who get up and she gonna tell him what she's doing if she tells him. Where's your wife? I don't know. She got her own car. She got her own bank account. She's doing her own thing. Where you go see her again? I don't know. She'll be home sometime tonight. Everything was laid on the man's shoulder. And God was showing you that in type, because true headship is we lay everything on his shoulder. Our lives, our desire, our ambition, whatever we think we want to be in life. I'm not what I planned when I was single.
I know you're not. Come on.
I had my ideas.
Yeah.
I had my plans. I knew what I wanted to do. But see, the thing is, what you got to understand is when you're married to Jesus Christ, all of that is none and void.
That's Amen. Right. Amen.
He don't care about what your plans were.
That's right.
He don't care about your career path. He don't care about your apartment. He don't care about your automobile. He don't care about none of that stuff. When you marry him, it all belongs to him.
That's right.
See, we get stuck in the natural over there in Ephesians 5 talking about wives submitting, and all we can see is dollars and cents. I get everything she has. It's mine. But no, you better look at the greater picture. You better look beyond that, look at the mystery of it all, because everything we have belongs to him.
Amen.
That's right.
Your kids belong to him. Everything belongs to him. If you really married him. Now, if you're just shacking up with Jesus,
Amen.
Which some people are.
Come on.
Never took a vow. Never promised him nothing. Because remember, in the vows, it says in sickness and in health, in goodness, and in good days and bad days. I like that, Courtney.
Yeah.
I had good days. I had great days.
Right.
See, that's somebody's got some vows.
Amen.
That's somebody standing on the vows. I had good days. And I had great days. And the days that I had that weren't so good, I learned. Ooh, I like
Amen.
That. I mean, that's somebody standing on their vows. Because
right.
If you ask anybody in here, ain't none of y'all married. None of us has married in such a way that it was perfect.
No, come on.
Come on now.
We all had to die. We had to submit ourselves. We had to lay our thinking down. We had to put things down. Things that I want to do and Clarice didn't want to do. And maybe I had to do it because Clarice needed it. And maybe she had to do it because I needed it. She had to die herself or I had to die. That's called marriage.
Amen. Amen.
That's it.
That's true.
Amen.
But he said over there in Isaiah, he said, you just lay it all on him. When you married him, you laid it all on him. My future, my past. He's responsible for my past. Because he's got to get rid of it.
That's right.
He took off my debt. When I married Clarice, when I got ready to marry her, I didn't have no money. So we were going to move down on Broadway in her $50 house. $50 a month. But you know, I looked in there and I said, I can't move in here like this. I got to start cleaning. I got to start moving. I start painting. I start hanging wallpaper. I thought, if I'm going to move in here, I'm going to change some things around. And that's what Jesus did with us. When he married us, he started moving some things around. Things that I wanted that he didn't want, I had to lay down. Now see, this is what I'm talking about, submission. Wives, submit yourself. Because when you submit yourself, you're saying, Lord, I will change whatever about me that you don't like.
Amen.
I remember one of the rounds with Clarice and I had. One time she looked at me and said, if you don't like this and you don't like that, why'd you even marry me? So that's the young couples for you. They're still trying to figure out why they married each other. Because it's like, well, if you're changing this and you're changing that, what's left? Think about Jesus.
Amen.
When he chose you, what is it about you that he's going to keep?
Right.
He changed your soul.
Amen.
Your spirit's going back to God that gave it. Right. And your flesh is going to the ashes, dust where it came from.
Amen.
So you sit here and you say, well, if you're going to change all those things, what is it about me that you even love? God loved the desire that I have.
Right.
God loved that I loved him.
Amen.
And he can change anything else about me that he wants, and he will.
Right.
Amen.
But when you do the same old 6 and 7, when God talks to you and you're going to do your own thing, you ain't married. You ain't married. You're fooling yourself. You're just dating. You're just walking around Jesus. You're just flirting with Jesus. But he wants your entire life. He wants everything. He don't want you holding on to nothing. And don't you be rebellious. Don't be a rebellious woman. Think I'm going to do my thing no matter what. It's between me and Jesus. I don't care what the pastor says. It's me and Jesus. You can't even get to Jesus without me.
Amen.
And any relationship you think you have with Jesus is because of me. So if you're going to keep your own ideas, if you're going to be rebellious, you ain't marrying him. He ain't going to marry you. 7 women might be wanting to call by his name, but that don't mean he want them. Brother Children said, you might want me as your pastor. That don't mean I have to be your pastor. I might not want you. There's a lot of girls that maybe want a guy, but he don't want all them. So see, it ain't about you. You come to him and lay your veil on his shoulder.
Yes.
If you don't do that, don't even waste your time. Because that's all you're doing.
Right.
You're hanging around somebody that you got a crush on. That's all you got. That's all you got. You don't have a marriage. You don't have a spouse. You don't have a husband. You're just hanging around the word.
Amen.
I'm talking about a real, real true headship. You don't want to just hang around God. You don't want to have him just for his name's sake. But you want to take everything and give it to him. Let him mold you. You know what? Some of y'all don't even get molded because you won't let him.
Amen.
Sometimes a husband can help a wife, but she won't let him. Sometimes he has to hold back because she won't let him. But you need to realize you gave it all to him. You don't have nothing.
Right. Amen.
And when you walk through these doors, you don't have nothing.
That's right.
You lay it all down. You say, Lord, you lay it right on his shoulders. Lord, this is my life. Make of it what you want. Tell me where I'm short. Tell me what I need. And I will improve. I will change. I will adjust. Because that's the job of the wife.
That's my desire.
Right.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, when the bride has been committed to the groom, she takes her veil off and places it on the groom's shoulders, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, that she has transferred her right to him, that he is the head, but also that he bears the responsibility and the care, and that he and he alone, no one else, no other man, no other power, has the right and responsibility. And that, beloved, is the key of David. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be the bride. He chose her. She did not choose him. He called her. She did not come to on her own. He died for her. He washed her with his own blood. He paid the price for her. She belongs to him and him alone. She is wholly committed to him, and he accepts that obligation. He is her head, for Christ is the head of the church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he is her Lord. He speaks and she obeys, for that is her delight. Yes, right. Yes. Oh my.
Amen.
We almost don't want to hear this, but you got to hear it, because you got to understand that he paid the price for you. He did everything for you. You hear what I just read? He didn't leave nothing for you to do except to obey him.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen, Lord.
So where's your ideas? Where do you have a thought coming? You don't have no thought coming. When God says something, all you do is move. All you do is say yay and amen.
Amen.
That's all the bride does. I'm not talking about these flirters. I'm not talking about these people they're still mad because I said women have to be subject to her husband. Thank God over that. They're still stuck in Ephesians 5. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about somebody looking at the Word of God. I'm talking about somebody realizing we're all the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at somebody who's willing, not force-fed, somebody willing to give their life to him.
Amen.
She delights in doing this.
Yes.
It's not a forced thing.
No.
If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. You don't have to be married to him. But he come and found you. He come and called you. He come and paid the price for you. He did all the work. You had nothing to do. All you got to do is find where his headship is and get under it.
That's it.
Oh, it could be so easy for a wife to just listen to her husband. I always look at wives, and now when I hear them say, oh, headship is so hard. I am struggling to try to get under this thing. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying. You ain't trying nothing. Just die.
Amen.
Just die. Die to your thinking. Die to your idea. Put your veil on his shoulder. Let him have it. He wants to have it. He wants to lead you.
Amen.
Now, that's true headship. And that ain't male and female. That's all of us.
Amen.
That's every last person in this building. Every last person on the sound of my voice. Every last person listening to this service. It's God wanting to lead you. And if you don't let him, he won't even let you.
Amen.
Because he already knows whether you're going to do it or not. He knows. He knows. He won't make you. But he's waiting to see what you have. You need to be asking the question. Lord, if you don't like anything about me, what is it about me that you liked? And he will tell you, I love that desire that you have. And with that desire, I will make a life for you. But it's his life. It's not my will, but thine. That's what Jesus said. If I got to drag you in here and I got to always tell you what to do and I always got to tell you how to dress, I got to tell you how to live, I got to tell you what time church is, I got to tell you everything, then it ain't God, it's you.
Amen.
Somewhere along you need to fall in love.
That's right.
When you fall in love with God, God will fall in love with you. Because he loved you before you loved him. You're still trying to figure out if you love him. Oh, he knows if you love him already.
Right.
But the thing is, God's going to call to you. He's going to tell you what his mind is, because God will not have a wife that won't take his mind.
Amen. Oh, that's right.
Amen.
And the whole thing is done by love. I love him because he first loved me. Remember, I read you, the husband, see, the thing is, this world is so messed up. Satan's got everything so mixed up. They got this, well, he didn't have to ask her. I see her asking now. She's asking him. Breaking the type, breaking the scripture, breaking headship, breaking everything. I wouldn't have a girl who was asking me to marry her. Clarice asked me to marry her, I turn her down. Breaks the type. You say, well, what about leap year? That's man's tradition. God don't have leap year in the Bible. He never had a woman have to come to him and ask him to marry her. The man chooses. All she can do is say yes or no. And so you say, oh, but you're so old-fashioned. No, I'm showing you in type what the real true headship does. God comes here and he presents his mind to you, and all you can do, you can't give God a mind. All you can do is yes or no. That's all you have. You don't have no options. Well, I like this part and I don't like this. Well, I'll accept this and I won't accept that. If you don't take it all, you don't take none.
Amen, Lord.
That's real headship for you. Oh, a lot of times we men talk about headship and not do it in ourselves.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. There it is.
Whew.
I love it.
Amen.
Amen.
But you don't have no choice. Only choice you have is yes or no.
That's it.
Only thing you can say is I believe or I don't. See, that's why God, he pulls you in here and he gives you his mind. And all you can do is say I believe it or I don't. That's it. You have no opinions. You have no options. You have nothing else to say.
That's it.
Okay.
Turn or burn. That's all you got. So we're still stuck because we love the type. We love the type of headship when it comes to our wives, when it comes to a woman. But I've seen some stubborn men. I've seen some hard-headed men. I've seen brothers who won't give in. I've seen sisters that won't give in. I've seen people that won't say yay or nay. That's all you have. You don't have any other option.
Come on, Lord.
We don't have a fill in the blank. Oh, I want to serve God part-time. I want to marry him part-time. I want to love God, but I want the world. I want to love God, but I want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's either all or none.
That's it.
It's either all God or it's not God at all.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
Lord.
Brother Lockett, you're right. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
You'll keep my word.
Amen.
You wives need to check with your husband.
Yes.
You might be doing something he don't want you to do. But you've been so hard-headed and stubborn, bull-headed, that you're going to do it until he finally stopped talking to you. Beware when your husband stops talking to you.
Amen.
You cut yourself off from God talking to you. Beware when I stop talking to you.
Amen.
Because you cut yourself off from God talking to you. You say, who are you? If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. But the thing is, God has his headship alive and well. He brings it to us. He tells us what he wants, and then all you can say is yay or nay.
Yes.
Amen.
You can turn it down. You can look at me and say, you're foolish. I don't believe a word you're saying. That ain't God. You're just, that's just Nate. Go ahead. Take it. Run with it. I don't have to worry about it. If a wife don't take her husband's mind, she's on her own. And she is in trouble. You say, well, you know, this is a new age. We don't have to listen to our husband. We don't have to do this. I never read where God ever changed that. He can't change that because that's his own way of doing business. That's why when God took Eve out of the side of Adam, he did that on purpose because the bride was going to come out of the side of Jesus Christ. He couldn't change that. He couldn't update that. And a husband and wife is a Christian act that God put in place because it's a type and shadow of what he was going to do with the church.
Amen.
Not about you and your little ideas. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for God, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, verse 10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed on how he build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay other than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, God's going to build the foundation. He's building a bride body. It's not about you and your home and your spouse. That is so puny. So small. Sorry, Steve. So small in God's thinking. He ain't worried about your house. Not in that sense. All you're doing is breaking the type if you don't listen to your husband. But you try not listening to God. That's true headship. See, if your husband ain't treating you right and he ain't telling you to do the right things and it's not according to the word of God, then you got another headship. You say, but I got to listen to my husband. Yes, you do. But there's a greater headship than him.
Right.
You listen to God.
Right.
You do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
You say, you're telling me to disobey my husband? No, I'm telling you to obey God.
Right.
My mother used to tell us, I'd rather you fight with your daddy than to fight with God. Not a bad fight. You can't deal with that. You won't win. Okay, all right, the entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, making himself known to every age. He made himself known in the days of Luther as the foundation of the church, the foot, the legs, like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember how he dreamed those dreams and come from the head down? See, now he comes from the feet up, see? In the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testaments. He come from the head down until he came down till God himself become flesh at the foot of the ladder. And down here in the New Testament, he brings himself right back up again to the head again. And the head of gold to be crowned, see? Look, you get it? See, God was in the beginning, and he kept coming down through the prophets and down until God himself became human like us. Plumb down at the foot of the ladder, a baby in a manger. Hated, rejected, despised, and a bad name, and everything he was. Then he started rising. See, from there, the feet, he began to build the church, the bride, coming back on back, and now come out to the headstone, where it's all joined together and makes one great transfigured body of Jesus Christ. See, the whole thing has been Christ building his body. He wasn't worried about your marriage. He really wasn't. People concerned about that. We got people who's been divorced. Well, they get so stuck on marriage and divorce that they can't see the reality behind it. They can't see the truth of Romans 7. Because we're so stuck. We're stuck in our tradition. We're stuck in our ideas. We're stuck in Ephesians 5. But I'm talking about you and Christ, the church. You might mess this up all down here. You might even get the wrong mate down here. But you have the right one there. Because the right one there is going to be Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Amen.
We won't have any problems over there. We struggle over here, and we're all trying to do, oh, I got to be subject to my husband. Oh, woe is me. It's rough. Rough. It should just be in you. It's just in you to obey God, isn't it? Is it rough for you to obey God? Are you struggling to listen to God? Are you struggling to live for God? Are you struggling to having all this? You need to be born again.
Amen.
That's the end of the struggling nature. That takes all the work out of it. A wife and a husband is a team. It shouldn't be hard work. It should be teamwork together. You both serving God together. It's not she going one way and him going another. You'll keep his commandment. You will. You'll keep it. And that's what God's trying to show us, is that you got your eyes focused on trying to make it here on this side with your spouse and your kids and struggling, trying to live and want to be good and want to serve God and all this stuff. And God ain't even worried about that. He's trying to get you his word. He's trying to get you his mind. He's trying to get you to understand what he wants. But if you can't hear his voice and you don't know the voice of God, you wouldn't even know how to fix anything. If God wanted you to do something, you couldn't do it.
Amen.
Got to learn how to be sensitive to the voice of God.
Yeah.
Sensitive to the mind of God. Sensitive to the word of God.
Yeah.
And when you get the word of God in you, thy word have I hid in my heart.
Right.
Then you won't sin.
Yeah.
Then you won't disbelieve. You won't sit down here with your own ideas.
Amen.
A wife that never asks her husband what he thinks or what he wants, she's just batting in the wind. She's guessing. Well, I think he likes this. Well, I think he likes that. Well, this and well. Why don't you stop and listen to him? Stop and ask him. What do you want, Lord? What do you want from me, Lord? Do you want me to lead songs? Do you want me to play an instrument? Do you want me to clap my hands? Do you want me to stomp my feet? Do you want me to help? What do you want from me, Lord? Because I know that your will is your mind. And I need to know your will in order for me to fulfill it.
Amen.
The same one that was a cornerstone is the same one that's the headstone. The thing that he'd been building this body for 2,000 years. And what I love about it is that it's every part of the body had something to do. Like Jeremiah said, do your job. Do your job. The whole body has something to do. I'm not required to feed myself to lions. I'm not required to be hung upside down on a cross. I'm not even required to die physically. Though some people do. But it ain't you and me. We've been spoiled. But the hour that we're living in, he's no longer building the feet.
Amen.
The thighs, the legs, the body. He has moved all the way up to the head. And matter of fact, he is no longer in the eyes. The last moving part of your body going up is the eyes. That was William Branham. That was the seer. That was the prophet of the hour. But what the eyes did was it brought information to the brain.
Yes.
The eyes brought what we needed in here. Because the last part of it is the intelligence. The last thing that develops is the intelligence. The last thing, we're learning after we're born.
Amen.
When do you start learning? You must be born again. But after the birth, you start looking around. Henry's looking around, picking things up, learning. Can't even speak. Can't even tell you what he's, but he's learning. And as he gets older, he's learning more. They bring him past me and they see the lights at the church. He's looking at those lights. Learning. He don't even know what to call it right now. But his mind is working. His mind is, and the last part of the body is the mind. And the last part of the body is the bride for the hour that we're living in. Let this mind be in you. He built the body down through the ages, and he brought it all the way up to the mind. He brought it all the way up to the whole body is one body. And we're so busy trying to get our wives subject, we don't even realize that it's a body-wide thing.
Amen.
It's not about you and your spouse. Thank God if you got it right. But if you don't have it right, this body's got it right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, from whom the whole body, verse 16, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part,
yes,
making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
We're now edifying this body. We look at this and we're like, my, this is great. I never had anything like this in my life. We edify ourselves by looking at ourselves. We look at the body like, it is good. This is great. And nothing else can match it. We edify ourselves.
Yes.
Just jumping real quick down. No more as a church. See, no more. The bride is, it's called, see, in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed, what? To join the church to the head. That's our job. The head has come down. Join the church to the head. Unite the marriage of the bride, the bridegroom. Call the bridegroom. Call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down in human flesh to unite the two together. See, we don't even realize altogether what's going on in this day. The Son of Man was already prophesied to come at the end time. But the Son of Man coming was to unite the body, the entire body.
Right.
Not just to unite this. We look here and we think this is the body. No, we're just a part of the body.
Right.
But the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. I could spend all day talking about that.
Right. Yeah.
But just to sum it up, Son of Man, that's the Word made flesh.
Right.
Whenever the Word of God is put in flesh, that's Son of Man. Son of God is an unseen force. That's what's been working down through the seven church ages. They didn't know what was going on, didn't know a thing about the building of the body. Not really. And then the Son of David is the king that he's going to be over us when it's all said and done. But right now, according to Luke 17:30, at the end time, just before the end, the Son of Man comes on the scene. And Brother Branham said that Son of Man comes on the scene to unite the body with the head. Up until this time, we did not really have that mind. We looked through a glass dimly.
Yeah.
We guessed and hoped. Luther didn't know he was a part of the body. He was praying to God he was going to be saved.
Amen.
Thought he was lost every day. They didn't know what was going on down through the ages. But here the mind is here in us with the perfect knowledge of everything that God has. That's what the opening of the seals did. That's what the opening of the seals did. The opening of the seals brought the mind of God to the body. The opening of the seals gave life to that body. Life came through the mind. And he is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1, verse 18. Who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He couldn't even really have the preeminence till the mind came. He could. Think about a baby before they're born. Oh, they kick and they swim around. But they don't have life. Contrary to what the church world is trying to present. They say life starts in the womb, at conception. But that's false. Life comes in when the breath of life comes into the body. Then that becomes a living soul. Oh. How could they be church people with this Bible and not know this?
Right.
Feel like Jesus and Nicodemus. You being a teacher.
Yeah.
Don't know these things? Life comes with the breath.
Yes.
Then he becomes a living soul. When was Adam a living soul? When life came breath in him. Oh, I know that Adam was like God, and he was a pillar of fire and just a male and female. He was all that without being in a body. I understand that, but he wasn't a living soul.
Right.
He wasn't a living soul till God put him in flesh, till God breathed breath in him, and neither were you. But the church was not a living, moving, breathing church until now. Life came to this body. Headship came to this body in 1963. Not before. It had muscles, it moved, it was growing, it was in the womb. Do you realize the seven church ages were in the womb? And those seven ages was in there growing the whole time. But life came to the body at the opening of the seals. That's why we have the mind. That's why we're here with a clear understanding of everything. That's why we don't have to try to push this over on somebody. We don't have to try to convince them. Either it's right or it's not. Either it's God or it's not. Either you're in or you're out. And we don't have to make you. We don't have to force you, because the body just is. Whether you're part of the body or not, it doesn't even matter. Because now it's the mind time. Now it's the mind. The body, the mind is taking on his mind. We're looking at it now saying, I want to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to look like him. And now we're walking around here and we know what it is. We can look all the way back. We see what he's done. We got everything in place. The rapture's at hand. Our church is in the state it's in. Israel's in the state it's in. The bride is in the state she's in. Everything's in place. There is not one thing out of cater. And here we are sitting here with a perfect, this right here, things that are to be. That is nothing less than the mind of Christ. We're sitting here in this church with the mind of Christ written out that nobody understands but the bride. I was thinking about this, and I just throw this in there just because. God comes down before he goes up. I thought about that. And the scripture I looked at, and it's in John chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In other words, he come down. And I thought, that's the way God does it. He comes down, then he goes up. He comes down, then he goes up. And then my mind went over here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. He comes down, then he goes up. Do you know he's already done half of this? Two-thirds of it? Because a shout's already history. That's the prophet. Church won't know nothing about. The voice is in the bride. Church world knows nothing about. The trump of God will unite the living and the dead. That's what the trumpet does. When they blow the trumpet, people gather. Because usually in the old days, when they blew the trumpet, they'd gather together because there was a message coming from the king. Well, in this day, when the trumpet sounds, the living and the dead will gather together because there's a message coming from the king. Come up a little higher.
Yeah. Oh, God. Amen.
Brother Brown said, as the head was took from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden, where the head of the family, the man, the bridegroom, and the bride, being body of the bridegroom, must follow the bride, because that's the head, and the head is revealed and comes back with eternal life. And the body must follow that. We're leaving here because the head's going to leave. And he is the head. Christ is the head of the church. And it is his mind. We're sitting here with his mind in us. You don't realize how much you know. You're sitting here with the mind of God in a human being. Watching the current events and placing everything where it belongs. We're not surprised by anything we see. Oh, they said the war starting in Israel? Of course. Gentiles turn things down, turn the churches into museums? Of course. Brides getting less and less, fewer and fewer? Of course. We're getting to the point of the capstone. All the people who are going to be saved is already counted for? Of course. The prophets already come and gone? The voices in the bride? Of course. You don't realize how much this means. If I could transport you back anywhere in this body and you see how little they had, they worried about everything. They worried about their loved ones. They worried about their salvation. They worried. And here we're just placing people, putting people where we can get them later. I told Brother Rosado, I said, we'll see your mother again. No. Got to meet Christy's mom. She was a fireball, firecracker. And I loved talking with her. She told me she's going to drop her husband and she's going to take me as her friend. I said, I'm both of y'all's friends. But you know what? She loved the right thing. She loved Christy, and she knew what this church had done for Christy's life because she watched it. And when it came time to lay this robe down, she's like, I don't even want to see my pastor. I want to see my friend. Found out that she knew my dad. And so it's like, she's family to me. And so it was a privilege. But you know what? Because of what we have, because of what we know,
amen.
We're placing them. We're placing people. We're putting what we can get our hands on them again.
Yes.
Oh, we're not losing people. We're just taking them and put them in a safe place for us. And only the bride understands this. Everybody else is trying to get deathbed confession. I walked in there. I looked at her. I said, oh, you ready? She said, oh, yes, I am. I said, you ain't over here trying to get no confession. She said, confess what? She's like, I am ready. I want to see my mama. I want to see my sister. And I want to see Jesus.
Yes,
and I said, you are ready. I said, okay. I said, a lot of times people have those celebration of life after they're gone. Didn't I, Christy? I told her, I said, they had celebration of life after they're gone. I said, we're going to have yours right now. I said, you got a good husband? She looked at me like, I said, you got a good husband? She said, yeah, I got 3 good kids. I said, yeah. She said, I got 7 grandkids. Yeah. She said, I got a great. So she was all there. She was all there. And I got a thrill of spending a little time with her. And I felt a privilege that she called me her friend. I mean, but that's what we do. That's what we do as a bride in this hour. We're not, No. I'll see you in paradise.
That's right.
Yes. We got that authority now.
Yes.
Because that mind is in us.
Right.
Let this mind be in you. We place people. We put them where they go. That's what the bride's doing now. We're giving life where they didn't have life.
Yes.
Giving people opportunity to touch you.
Yes.
This hasn't happened since Jesus was here. The true headship has come to the body now. And this bride is on her feet. She knows what to do with every problem, every situation that comes her way.
That's right.
We're not down here trying to figure this out. I know what it is. His mind has clearly told me. Do you know God talks clearly to us?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
He doesn't talk in parables to us here.
No.
Matter of fact, he talks so plain, the rest of the church world hears us, and they're like, oh my God, how could you say that? Oh my God, how could you do that? God talks plain now.
Oh my.
He ain't worried about parables. It's not even for them. It's for the bride. And we're a rugged group of people.
Yes.
We can take a rebuke. Yes. We can tell me when I'm wrong.
Tell me
when I need to move up.
Yes.
Tell me when I need to change.
Yes.
Give me another part of that mind.
Yes.
I want this thing.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 10 verse 8 says you got to take the book and eat it. You got to ask for it. You got to want this thing. This ain't an hour that we're going to try to convince you. This is an hour that you got to convince me to give it to you. If you don't want it, I don't want to give it.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 10, we're not chasing nobody down. People are still in this message trying to hold revivals, trying to get people to get saved, trying to get them to God, trying to get them to church. No, you come and ask me for it.
Amen.
That's the way Revelation 10 reads. I didn't see where he was running around with the book trying to say, here, Jeremiah, come on, Jeremiah. Open up, Jeremiah, let's get you a little book. No. He said, you get the book. You take the book and you eat the book. You gotta want this. If you don't want this, he don't want you. That's what happens when you get the real Son of Man on the scene. When Jesus walked on the earth, he wasn't chasing, oh, won't you come? I want you. See, that's what denominations do. Oh, won't you come? Oh, won't you come? Jesus said, follow me, and turn around and start walking. Didn't even look back to see if they did it. That's what happens when the Son of Man is on the scene. You bind, you loose, you claim.
Yes. Amen.
That's what happens when you get the true headship, when you get the mind of Christ in the bride body. She's going to be just like Jesus.
Amen.
She's going to be binding and loosing. She's going to be saving who she wants. You come follow me. You stay back. You come to our church. You stay
yes.
at your church.
Yes.
Only the Son of Man can do that. Now the true headship is on the scene. The body's on her feet. She knows what it is. She knows what to do with the word. We're not trying to figure this out anymore. And now you got to want this.
That's right.
If you don't want this, don't worry about it. I got another message for you. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as you as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Right.
If you want this, you can have it.
Yes.
If you want to be born again, you can be born again. Right. If you want the mind of Christ, it's so easy.
Right.
It is so easy for Clarice to find out what God wants for her.
Oh my goodness.
Not hard.
No.
I don't have to speak in her in tongues and wait for an interpreter. It's so easy. It's so easy for the church to hear from God.
Amen.
It's so easy. You say, well, if I was here when Jesus was here, I would be able to just go right up and touch his garment. I would go just be able to go right up and talk to him. I would ask him. I could ask him anything. But what hour do you think you're living in?
Amen.
Jesus is here.
Yeah.
And he has answers to everything and every problem, every question that you could possibly come up with. We are so blessed to have what we have. And nobody knows what's going on except for the 12 disciples. Jesus, why do you talk to them in parables? To them it's not even given. But to you it is given. Every time he talked in parables, he'd go over here to the side with the disciples, says, this is what this means. This is this, this is this. And they go back there and do another parable, and the Pharisees scratching their head, says, you're a man, you eat your flesh and drink your blood. Jesus go back over and explain it to the disciples. In our living in, the church world has no clue about true headship. They're stuck on Ephesians chapter 5 trying to get women to come subject to men. And they ain't not going to do it in the hour we're living in. We are so far away from what home should be, what life should be. We're so far away from that that he'll never get that back. But the bride will be exactly what the will of God is. She will do his will.
Amen.
She will do only his will. She has his mind. She knows what to do with the word. She knows who she is. I'm not walking around here guessing. My family know who I am. I walk in a room, take over.
Yes, that's right.
My friends know who I am.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They know I serve God.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't bother me on Sunday and Wednesdays. They know who I am. They know what side I'm buttered, my bread's buttered on.
That's right.
If you want me, find me some other time. Because I must be about my Father's business. Amen. And you insult me when you invite me somewhere on a Wednesday or Sunday.
Right.
You insult my intelligence. You know what that tells me? You have no respect for my birthright.
Amen.
That's your friends for you.
Come on.
They have no respect for your birthright.
That's right.
And they will plan things around.
Come on.
They know what they're doing.
Amen.
And you need to stand up and be counted for.
Amen.
They'll keep doing it until you stop them.
Come on.
We got game on Wednesday. Well, I ain't there. We're going out to eat today, Sunday evening, with our work group. Well, I ain't going. When they start saying, well, I would invite you, but I know you have church, then you got them where you need them.
Amen.
You got them where you need them. Because, see, you are the son of God. You're the daughter of God. You got to set the pace. If you let them, oh, Lord.
Come on.
You let them run your life. You'll have no life.
Amen.
But you better put your priorities and put God first. That's where we're at true headship. God's headship says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it's an insult to me for you to try to plan something for me when God's already got something planned. God's got something planned for me on Sunday and Wednesdays for the rest of my life.
That's right.
That don't catch me by surprise. It kills me when I have to go on vacation and have to be away.
That's right.
Had some people that were supposed to be on vacation this week. They canceled it. You know why? Brother Peter's coming.
Yeah.
World looks like, well, and I even told him, I said, you don't have to cancel, but I understand it. I'd do the same thing.
That's right.
It should tear you up when you can't be in the house of God.
Right.
It should tear you up when you're not here on time.
Come on.
It should tear you up when you have to leave early.
Yeah.
It should tear you up when you have to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of service.
Yeah.
Hi, Brother Mike. Because
yeah.
You don't want to miss nothing. You don't want to miss a word of it. And the brothers are in the restroom, and we got a speaker, but it's not up very loud because they don't want to wake the babies. But we're like, we need to turn this up because we don't even want to go to the bathroom without the speaker on. Don't want to miss a word. Don't want one word to drop. Don't want one word to be missed. I want to know what God's mind is, and I can't get God's mind if I'm not here. I can't get God's mind at a baseball game. Jay and I go to a lot of Wright State basketball games, but he already knows. He ain't looking on no Wednesday nights. He ain't looking on no Sunday nights. He don't even ask me. I know they're playing on those days, but he never asked me. People get tickets. They're going to give me tickets to the Bengals game. Give me this. When is it? Sunday at noon. Sorry, I'm busy. And you know why I'm busy? Because I'm in church.
Yeah.
Let them know. They'll stop asking.
Yeah.
Or they'll start planning differently. But as long as you just accept what the devil's throwing out, he's going to keep you busy.
You're right.
The dynamics of this church will be reflecting of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when the head and the body unite together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead in Christ for hundreds of years will rise in the beauty of his holiness and take a flight in the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. We've got the dynamics right now. We are so ready for the rapture right now. There's not one scripture left to be fulfilled that'll keep us from a body change. Not one. And Israel's shaking, the world's shaking, earthquakes, fires, floods. Have you ever seen a time? No, you haven't, because they haven't had it. Ever seen a time? Earthquakes here, fire, floods in the desert.
Come on.
Snow in Florida. Earthquakes, fires, the fire in Hawaii wiped out a community. Never seen it. Typhoons, hurricanes, tsunamis. This stuff is crazy. And it's stuff that man can't control, so you know who's got the handles there.
Amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. Now he allows the devil to get away with some stuff, but it's God behind it all. This, it is amazing to me how much that Bible is so true. When in the history of man could man ever destroy the earth by fire? Could you imagine back when that was written? The little fires on their sticks. And they're walking around thinking, how is the whole world going to be destroyed by fire? When you got barely enough to get through the caves. How could it be possible?
Wow.
Well, it's called nuclear bombs that they knew nothing about. We've got enough nuclear bombs on this planet right now. Do you realize that tsunami and that earthquake that shook over in Japan that time moved the island? And it said the axe moved a little bit. We're not sitting where we were sitting before. You think the axes are right where they are? No, we're not. Just the destructions that are happening on the earth has caused those axes to adjust. And that ain't nothing. The same thing that blew it off in the middle, in the beginning, it's going to blow this thing right back. There's enough nuclear on this earth to blow the axes back north and south.
Yeah.
They're saying, and I also thought, isn't that weird? Out of all the things that could happen in this earth, that the world is warming up. I thought, God, is this the beginning of the fire? Is this where we're going? Because we can only get a few degrees higher, and man can't live. And he's so stupid that he's just ignoring it. And then the other group is so, there are ditches on both sides. They're so green that you can't hardly live. But between them both, neither one of them going to make it. This world's on its way out. But the bride is on her way out. So we're not even living in fear. I hear the news. I see these things. But all I see is that the word of God is true.
Yeah. That's it.
The world is fulfilling what God said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Verily, verily, I say, John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We're going to do better, more than he did. And Brother Brown said, greater is more.
Yeah.
It's just like if I pray for somebody, that's one thing. But each one of us praying for somebody, it's greater. It's more. Jesus had to walk everywhere by himself. We have cars. We can go. And we can all go different ways.
Amen.
More of us to do the work. But it's still his work.
Amen.
And there is a light of the hour today. That's Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. His word that's promised for this day. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. I go to the Father. Greater works, greater things than he did. Do you believe that? Well, three in our congregation did. His congregation said, amen.
Amen.
I believe it. It seems humble. It seems like it's going over the top of people's head. Look, when he was here on earth, how could you do greater works? I've translated that many times. More, but the same thing. Greater, he said in St. John 14:12, greater works than that shall you do. You're just doing more.
Amen.
One more quote, and I'm going to close here. Now we see the promises. Now we see the promise being fulfilled. Christ, the true headship, going in, coming in as bride, doing the same works that he did in the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in St. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one. The works and the signs and in life. Vindicated by God himself. So he promised his word for this last day. He promised this in this last day. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. If you're spiritual, church, you'll see it's more than Ephesians 5 talking about bringing your wife subject. Thank God if she is. But her being subject is not going to stop what God's going to do for his true bride. Because the true headship is God in his body bringing the mind to. Now we have no excuse, little bride, to why we're not doing what we need to do. You need to be that example. People are watching you. They need to know this hope that lies within you. They need to see that you are God in skin. They need to not take you lightly. They need to look at you and realize that they may not even like you. They may not want nothing to do with you, but they have to recognize that you've been with him. That's what they have to recognize. And if they don't see that, that means you need to step it up a little bit, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When they see you, they should see him. And if you don't want to be his wife, don't take his name. Go find you a denomination. Find you somebody that's going to let you keep your own thinking. I'm sorry, you cannot keep your own thinking here.
Amen.
You can't. It's not possible. God's not going to leave you alone and let you keep your own thinking. But if you can submit yourself, wife, to him, then he will give you and take care of everything that you have need of. He will take care of all of your needs and make sure that you'll be okay, because you've placed your veil on his shoulder. You've already said, Lord, I'm taking your name. That's what you did in water baptism. That's what you did with the new birth. You become Mrs. Jesus. You've taken his name. And now that you've taken his name, he owns you.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
No rights.
That shows ownership.
Yeah.
Changing of your name shows ownership. That's a bad word for people to use in this day. From slavery, from the women's rights, from name it. Everybody's got rights. But that's what the scripture says. You have given yourself up to God. Now your life is his. And whatever he wants, I'll gladly give.
Amen.
Whatever he wants me to lay down, I'll gladly lay it down.
Amen.
What he wants me to surrender, I'll surrender it. And I'll let him have it without any question at all.
Amen.
Come on, musicians. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. So thankful for your truth. So thankful for your headship. The true headship. Not the types in the shadow, but the reality of who you are. That's what you wanted to let us see in these types and shadows. Those are just types and shadows to show us, Lord, our relationship with you. That's the true headship that we need. And Father, we thank you for giving that to us. And Lord, we're willingly giving it back to you, knowing that you are our Redeemer. You have redeemed us. You have bought us with a price. And now, Lord, we turn everything back to you and offer it back to you, not holding anything back, but Lord, surrendering it all to you. Thank you for this capstone coming. Thank you for this mind that's coming, the hour that we're living in. Help us to appreciate it, Lord, and help us to surrender more each day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And not looking at our shortcomings and our failures, but looking at the promise, looking at who you are, looking at what you've done for us and how you brought us to a place where we can accept you as you have accepted us unconditionally. We want to give everything back to you. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this congregation. And Lord, help us to press and push and let us let this mind take control of our lives. Let us say yes to you and just keep you before us in all things. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. That's the day of redemption. 161. Come back tonight and we'll have Bible study and pray about the upcoming services with Brother Peter O'Kale. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered, when horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is near, and men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, a national lifelong dethrone. Today she is calling, her latter rain's falling, return all dispersed to your home. For the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. We'll be filled with God's Spirit, your lamp trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking. Heaven's powers are shaking. And many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's bride is the hour that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. For the day of redemption is here. It's here. Men's hearts are failing. God's Spirit, your lamp trimmed and clear. Bride, look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying, that Jesus Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption is here, and men's hearts are failing for fear. We should be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Bride, look up, your redemption is here. Oh, yes, the day of
men's heart.